Please remain muted unless you are speaking. When speaking, please state your name before your comment. This supports our ASL interpreters, participants joining by phone, and individuals who will listen to the recording. For those joining by phone, you may mute or unmute yourself by pressing star six and raise or lower your hand by pressing star nine. For those joining by computer, please use the microphone icon to mute or unmute and the raise hand feature, which is located under the reactions menu. When making comments, speakers are asked to briefly describe themselves the first time they speak. This supports equitable access for all participants. A brief description may include clothing or distinguishing features and your location relative to the screen. I'll provide a brief example. This is Dr. Maggie Butler. I am a woman with shoulder-length hair. I am wearing a blue dress. I'm seated indoors and speaking from my office. At this time, I will share my agenda. Please let me know if the screen is visible.
Recording in progress.
I can see it.
Okay, excellent.
Me too.
Thank you. 4 p.m., call to order and roll call, system-wide accessibility staff. 4:05 p.m., review and approval of agenda, prior meeting minutes. That will be led by our chair, Tino Calabia. 4:10 p.m., we'll have a discussion regarding restroom and wayfinding. Sarah Meyer, EVP and Chief Customer Experience Officer, and Sam Sarabin, Project Manager of Wayfinding and Services, will provide that update. 5 p.m., we'll have a discussion related to rail modernization, specifically platform doors. Jill Cesari, Senior Vice President of Rail Modernization Program, will provide that update. 5:30 p.m., committee discussion. 5:45 p.m., public comment period. And 6 p.m., adjournment. We will now proceed with roll call. When your name is called, please confirm your presence. Susan Bullmaster. Darnice Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa
Audio
Coles.
unmuted. Present. I am on the wireless 3058.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank
Oh,
you.
thank you.
Swatha Nandakumar. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newzel.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Summerfort. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. And Philip Weinthrop. At this time, I will turn the meeting over to Chair Calabia to proceed with the agenda. Chair Calabia, you have the floor.
All in favor of the agenda presented?
One note, Tino, this is Sarah. In terms of the agenda, during the committee discussion, I'd like to run through the quick readout from our 8K visit, if that's okay.
Yes, perfect.
Thank you.
So moved.
Okay, a second.
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Okay, let's proceed. Maggie?
Yes.
Should we proceed with the agenda? It was already approved.
Yes, sir. So your next step would be to have approval for the agenda. Well, you got the agenda, but prior meeting minutes.
We discussed the prior minutes and at length. So all in favor of accepting and adopting the minutes? Say
aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Yes.
Tina, this is Sandy. Can I add a comment here?
Sure.
Okay, so I confess I have still not read the entire meeting minutes from the June bus rail subcommittee meeting.
Okay.
They were 15 or 16 pages long, and I have not pried loose a half an hour to sit down with my screen reader to read it out loud to me. That much text, I'm just not reading with my eyes. And we used to get the minutes like 5 or 6 pages long. And I'm wondering if Metro staff can help accommodate that and shorten them up. There seems to be a lot of detail we don't need in the minutes.
Well, the minutes are prepared by staff. I'm all for thorough minutes. If you want to delay it until you've properly read all 10 or 16 pages, whatever it is, we can delay it until next week.
No, no, no. I don't want to delay it. I think enough people have read it and nobody has any objections. But I just want to suggest that in future they could be shorter. But you know, I'm not the only opinion here. And if you think they should be 15, 16 pages.
I'm with Sandy. I did just spend half an hour speed listening to all of it. And while it is good and accurate, as far as I can tell, it is very long and probably unnecessarily so. So I would agree that going forward, if we could get more of a summary as they used to be, that would be great.
This is Pat Sheehan. I would agree also. I'm finding there are too many elements in the minutes that are not really relevant to, I think, decision making. And since these minutes are going up to the board, I think that there are things that are in there that shouldn't be, as far as knowing who said what exactly, you know, this and that and the other. We don't need all of that. What we really need is what was discussed, items, motions taken, and those sorts of things. So I think we need to streamline it down to probably no more a maximum of 5 or 6 pages.
Okay. Chair Calabia, can I just add?
Sure.
So we can provide an abbreviated minute, but we're trying to accommodate those who are not able to use the audio. And so they may not utilize English as a first language. However, they may not be able to hear the audio. So we're trying to give them the same access that we're giving others, but we can definitely have two versions.
Okay.
One that's a little more transcript would be okay under the one, let's say, but I still think you need to have minutes that are going to be at least no more than 6 pages.
Okay. We can definitely provide a separate version that's a little shorter, but we want to make sure we are being as equitable as possible for those who need a little bit more context.
I like Maggie's thoughts on this. So while we can streamline it for official purposes, I don't mind if we have a long version which captures what people actually said. In any event, should we take a vote on it, or how would you want to proceed?
I don't mind taking a vote on this. Those were recommendations maybe for future meetings.
Yes, that I would say I'll make a motion that for future meetings, we have the longer version of minutes essentially as a transcript for possibly for people who haven't even attended the meeting or need it translated into another language, but a shorter summary that will go forward to the board for the official record.
Okay, having heard that, you make that as a motion.
Yes.
So move.
All right.
Obviously.
We'll have two versions, a longer version for those who didn't attend, and a shorter version for the record to pass on to the board.
So is this going to extend to all three sets of minutes? Bus rail, Metro Access, and AAC? My guess is it should.
That would be my
Well,
hope. This is Sandy.
I don't think we can act upon the other two entities, but we can certainly act upon Bus Rail today, Pat.
Thank you, Steve. All in favor of a set of two different minutes for bus rail, a shorter version for those who wish to quickly go over what was said and make it official, and a longer version for the record. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no opposition, the motion is adopted. Okay, let's proceed now. We are into the meeting already. The next item is I don't have it in front of me, but Maggie, the next.
Restroom and wayfinding update from Sarah Meyer and Sam Therapin.
Yes, she's here. So, Sarah, it's all yours.
Great. Hi, everybody. So
Hi.
nice to see so many of you in person over the last couple of weeks. Excited to talk through our latest updates with restrooms.
Okay.
I am Sarah Meyer. I am the Chief Customer Officer here at Metro. I am a woman with red hair speaking from my office in Southwest DC. So, as we all know, Metro has conducted a comprehensive review of station restrooms focused on accessibility and safety. Based on findings, Metro has decided to provide restrooms for customer use at 36 stations, 10 of which are terminal stations, 11 are Silver Line stations that were actually built for customer service, customer restroom access. And 15 stations in the core of the system to provide geographic distribution of restroom access. As we all know, most of WMATA's station restrooms were originally built for employee use and were not designed for customer use. At least one restroom at each of the 36 stations will be accessible. Of the 36 stations, 22 will require some level of renovation. Minor renovation restrooms require limited construction. That's 17 of them. Major renovation restrooms require major renovations and will take longer. That's 5 of them.
Could you mention which are the five?
I will in subsequent slides. Restrooms at all other stations will not be available for customer use. These changes will be effective September 6th, 2026. So 14 stations currently already have one accessible restroom. These are mostly Silver Line Phase 2 stations. And I'm going to list them now. Glenmont, Rockville, Ashburn, Dulles, Greensboro, Innovation Center, Loudoun, McLean, Potomac Yard, Spring Hill, Reston Town Center, Vienna, Wheelie Reston East, and Herndon. 22 stations will require some level of renovation work, and again, they were selected based on the following criteria: terminal stations, which serve as key system entry points for many of our riders, high ridership and major transfer stations in the system core, stations with restrooms requiring minimal renovation, stations purpose-built for customer access, balanced geographic and jurisdictional distributions. So these 22 stations are Cleveland Park, Columbia Heights, Deanwood, DuPont Circle, Eastern Market, Foggy Bottom, GW, Gallery Place, L'Enfant Plaza, Metro Center, Roslyn, Branch Avenue, Downtown Largo, Greenbelt, Grosvenor Strathmore, New Carrollton, Shady Grove, Southern Avenue, Ballston, Franconia Springfield, Huntington, King Street, and Tyson's Corner. So,
Yes.
go ahead, Tino.
What is the range in time?
So the range in time is we are hoping to have most of these stations completed by next summer, July 2027.
Wow.
However, the major renovation stations, so the five that I was mentioning, those might require more significant timelines. We have to put those stations out for construction for bid. And once we have those construction timelines back, we'll report that back to you all at the AAC. I'm hoping to have those construction timelines back by December, by the end of this year.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. I hope that you all see that we, had a very careful, balanced approach to this. We would love to offer restroom access at every station, but unfortunately, it's just not feasible given our investments in the system, our focus on providing safe, reliable train service. And we do believe that this geographic distribution will be particularly accommodating. I'm also showing slide
Cool.
five, which is the legacy station restroom layout example, which shows why many of our restrooms cannot be made accessible. It's in an auxiliary space in the same hallway as cleaning materials and mechanical equipment rooms. Station managers must unlock this doorway to allow customers to access it. And there would be no way to provide direct customer access to this restroom without an entire overhaul of the auxiliary space, which is not feasible. And you'll see that I shared some pictures of those back rooms, the water fountain, and other items that are in currently in the way. If you go to the next slide. Slide six shows an example of stations that were built after 2003, which allow customer restroom access that's direct. It's more accessible, more visible, and it's a diagram of the Greensboro station showing where customer restrooms are within the mezzanine. Restrooms are directly accessible. And there is a separate door to the auxiliary space. This means customers don't have to ask station managers for access. So these two slides sort of demonstrate some of our challenges here and some of the ways that restrooms are laid out in the system, depending on if they were originally built for restroom access or not. You can go to slide seven. So, here I'm showing a map that shows the categories, the number of stations, and by jurisdiction. The three categories include those stations that are already have restrooms that are accessible, those that require minimal upgrades, and those that require major upgrades. There are 14 already accessible accessible restrooms, two in Maryland and 12 in Virginia. We are currently working on the minimal upgrade stations. There are 17 of those in total, with seven in DC, five in Maryland, and five in Virginia. For the major upgrade stations, there are five total, with three in DC and two in Maryland. This information will also be available at WMATA.com/restrooms at the end of the month in the in map and table form. And at the end of the presentation, I am happy to read through those lists of stations again, if that would be helpful. But we will be providing these lists in table read friendly formats so that they can you can read and review them on your own as well. So again, as I was mentioning, the timeline. The plan is that by July of 2027, we are hoping to make the remaining 17 stations that require minor renovations have accessible restrooms. Tysons, King Street, Columbia Heights, and Roslyn are currently being worked on as we speak. And I'm happy to report that eight stations have been upgraded to accessible since this work began in the fall. For the five major upgrades, construction timelines will be available by the end of the year and will be shared with the AAC then. So I'm happy to take any questions, and then if it's helpful, I can read out the lists and tables of restrooms.
Yes. Steve, you had your hand up. Steve?
Hi, I think Patrick was first.
Oh, okay.
Pat?
Hey, Steve, you can go. I'll follow you, sir.
Please. hi, Sarah.
Hi, Steve.
Are if I recall, some of the restrooms had hallways that one needed to traverse in order to get to them. And a couple of those hallways we saw pictures of looked a little precarious to want to find oneself isolated in. Is that still an issue, or is that part of the renovation work that's going to be handled?
That's part of the renovation work that will be handled.
Okay. And some of the stations, for example, DuPont Circle DuPont Circle is a good example, and L'Enfant Plaza have several entrances. How is the side that the bathroom is located on going to be identified for people?
Sure. Bonnie, can I just ask you to flip to slide 9 for me? So here you'll find a signage plan to mark the accessible restrooms. You'll see that there's a room label with raised type that states the term restroom, along with a image, a pictogram of a woman, a man, and the ADA International symbol. There will also be a sign for those restrooms. I believe DuPont Circle will be one of them that will continue to have a locked door. That is because that still has the auxiliary rooms that are, and there will still be a hallway. And that is where you will need still require to need to ask a station manager for restroom access. We're hoping as the construction continues that we get fewer and fewer of those stations, but just due to the station layout, some of them may remain.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You
Is
know,
this helpful?
it's interesting. The scariest thing I find is walking even into a bus station or a particularly a busy bus station restroom, where, there's a long hallway and you're by yourself, kind of isolated. And so, look, it's good that you've taken account of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Am I up next? This is Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Good. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say a big thank you. This has been work's been a while in coming, and I have a little bit of an inkling as to how much work you have put into this project. So this is good, extremely well presented, very well organized. So I appreciate all the effort that has gone into this. I would say that I bet the Writers Advisory Committee would be interested in it too, but I'm not going to say that since that could include you, increase your workload. But this is a good customer amenity that's out there. A couple of questions. One, when so these are then sort of classified as family style restrooms.
Correct.
Okay. And I assume you've got the ability to lock and then,
Yes.
all that. Good.
Yes.
I don't know if there are any baby changing tables in there or anything like that. But
There.
I
Go
was
ahead.
also going to ask, along with that question, I'll just ask one more. When you say accessibility, are we I don't know if we're using ADA type terminology as far as that's concerned for restrooms, but I'm more mostly interested in the ability of wheelchairs to be able to access the restrooms and having the grab bars and things like that available for accessibility. Could you?
Yes, they will have grab bars, and there will be the appropriate turning radius needed
Great.
for
Wonderful.
wheelchairs.
Good. Baby changing tables?
I am following up on that. I believe that
Oh.
they are in the Silver Line,
Oh,
stations,
good.
also
Okay.
following up to see if they will be included.
Oh, one last question. This is a big deal. Do you have anything that you can talk about as far as a communication plan to promote this throughout the system? What's going
Yes.
to be available? Oh, good.
Yes.
Could you talk about
I will be happy to. I first just wanted
that?
to thank you for your comments and also acknowledge that, it is certainly not just me that has been working on this project. There's been, a number of stakeholders from across the authority, and thank them
Wonderful.
for their determination and problem-solving skills here. This is an issue that we haven't tackled fully as an agency, and glad that we have all the
Am too.
information that we need now to move forward. So, as I mentioned, we will be making this system map available
Oh,
on
good.
the website. We will have a table that can be read with screen readers, and that table will have station names, the jurisdiction the restroom is in. If station manager assistance is required for that certain restroom, and the current status of that restroom. If it's accessible, if it's closed for renovation, or if it has a planned renovation upcoming. Those materials will be posted by July 31st, 2026. And
Beautiful. Okay.
by September, when we have more work done and a better timeline, we're hoping to make more public announcements around the availability of these restrooms. My colleague Sam and others have been working hard on making the signage more visible. As you've been seeing, there's been, a lot of different approaches to the signage. So we now have one moving forward that we think will create a lot more visibility. I just want to just mention as what Mrs. Rush did request repeatedly to us and to follow through on. And I'm glad that we are delivering on those requests.
I was just going to mention her name because she's been nudging this entire our entire committee, and we in turn have been nudging you to have a plan like this. So once again, a big thanks, I think, from myself, from Denise. I wish you were here tonight. Really from the whole committee, I think what we're getting here is good, and big kudos. to everyone really who's been involved. Thank you.
Yes. Next, Maggie
we
is there.
have Sandy Newsell.
Hi, this is Sandy Newsell. Yes, ditto, kudos from me. This has been a huge project, a huge effort. I just want to understand, be sure that I understood correctly, because I know there was a lot of numbers, Sarah.
Yes.
35 stations. Did I hear each one of those has one accessible bathroom, restroom?
36 stations of
okay.
36, at least one restroom at each of the 36 stations will be accessible.
Okay, great. Okay. And I realize that the language is a little confusing because on a lot of the Silver Line stations, there's two or three or four restrooms. So there's more than 36 restrooms, but there's only 36 stations that have them. But that is
correct.
Really, that is a huge milestone. That's like over a third of the metro stations. So you don't have to go too far to find a restroom or a station where you can hop off and use a restroom. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, no, thank you. And really glad we were able to bring this customer amenity forth. As you know, I came from the New York City metro system, the MTA, where in the New York City subway, they did not make restrooms available to its customers. So I'm glad that we're continuing to be the most, from my standpoint, the most accessible system in North America.
Thank you.
Well, my hand's up, and I don't have a question, but I, you know, let me second what Sandy just said. This is extraordinary work. You know, this is not one of the fun and pleasant aspects of customer experience, and not one that that people are going to gather around and send bunches of praise for, but what I was going to say is exactly what you said. I was up in New York actually last week for a soccer match and had occasion to look for a restroom and couldn't find it. And then realized that they're still struggling with the ADA requirement for elevators. And we surpassed that decades ago. And we're dealing with issues such as, you know, accommodating restrooms for customers. So I just want to say congratulations, if that's the right word. This is very impressive. No question, that's it.
I have a hand raised. Hello?
Go ahead.
Sarah, I've visited Seattle's system, and I think it is already accessible at all the stations, and I can furnish a picture of one of them. So while we're doing pretty well, and especially since our stations were only built in 76, there are some others which are doing pretty well right from the get-go. Let's see. I can lower my hand now.
We do have Philippa who has a question.
Yes, hi. I was also going to add my kudos to what you're doing. That's great. And I'm sure Ms. Rush will be pleased when she finds out. However, I was just curious, will there be any indication, did I miss it, that a certain station, anywhere on the pylon or something, that a certain station does have a restroom available?
So we are installing and looking at ways to promote the restrooms in the station itself. And Bonnie, if you can go to slide, I think it's 9. You can see that this is the signage plan. So, you know, certainly the signs on the lower half of the page here, if you can't see them, they are in station directional signs with 3-inch type, so very significantly sized signs that have the restroom icons along with the term restroom with one of our directional arrows.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Philippa, I think you're next.
Oh, that was
Oh,
Philippa.
that was, oh, sorry, Philippa.
That's okay.
Okay, I think that's it on the questions.
No more questions at this time.
Okay, great. So, Tino, if it's okay, I'm going to hand the presentation over to my colleague Sam, who will talk through the recent visits that the team did on wayfinding.
Sure. Sam?
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. She couldn't bring herself to say, Sam, talk about the Sams, because that just, it's weird. My name is Sam Sarabin. I'm the product manager for Wayfinding and Service Information. I'm a white male that is going browner and grayer each day. I use glasses, but lately they don't work as well for near sight. And so if I speak incorrectly about something that's on a slide, you'll know why. I have a difficult time sort of focusing near. I'm wearing a light blue button-down shirt, and I'm at my office desk. I'm really excited to be able to have this conversation with you all after having the pilot station ahead maps installed on the lower level of L'Enfant Plaza on June 17th. As you know, we were having lots of conversations about seeing these for real in the real environment. And so, through the support of our colleagues, we were able to make that happen. Bonnie, if you can go to the next slide. We've conducted two walkthroughs with members of the AAC, one on June 29th and one on July 10th. Total of 11 AAC members participated, and each one was given a task. They were assigned a station and they were asked to locate it on one of the station ahead maps. 11 out of 11 members successfully located their assigned station. When we add that to our observation exercise that we conducted soon after the city station ahead map was installed, where we just watched people interact with these new station ahead maps, that brings us to approximately 40 out of 42 people successfully completing the tasks that they were trying to complete. Next slide. So, in addition to task completion sort of questions, we also heard from those that participated some of their thoughts as to the station ahead maps when they were interacting with them at full size in the station. Some users indicated a preference for a standard arrow. What we're talking about is our branded style of arrow, if you will, rather than a GPS style arrow that is more familiar on mobile platforms. Some users indicated difficulty distinguishing between line colors, and sentiment was mixed on the orientation. So some spoke in support of destination first, others spoke in support of current location first. And when we say first, what we mean is at the top. That seems to be the interpretation of first. So we got a mix of responses to that particular question. In response to that, we have changed the style of the arrow to look more familiar to those that know our system. And we added rail disks above the termini. So, in this example, in the top right, there's an image that shows the orange line. At the very top, there's the orange service rail disk. And then there is another element that I'm going to talk about in a moment, which is a square that is highlighting Vienna. And then you have Dunloring and West Falls. And so that's sort of how we're highlighting. We're also increasing sort of the accessibility factor of this because this is a tool for those that are colorblind. We're putting the orange O rail disc up there. The bottom image shows the new arrow that we have incorporated into the design. Next slide. Additional feedback that we got related to contrast and visibility. Some users indicated a preference for the signs to be printed on a matte material, and some users indicated difficulty perceiving the state boundary lines. We also perceived another element of this, which is the reproduction of our brown, the brown that we use for our signs. We're going to be more carefully checking that going forward, because if that brown prints a little bit lighter than ideal, it creates color contrast issues. So we want to make sure that the brown that replicates on all our signs is the same to help with the contrast. We are looking into exploring material options with our facilities partners. There's a trade-off. Matte is, in fact, a better surface because it doesn't create sort of glare issues, reflectivity issues, but it also makes cleaning them and their resilience to, let's just call it wear and tear, a little bit more challenging. And then we increase the contrast on the state boundary lines in response to that. Next slide. Additional feedback that we got was related to a variety of different elements. So one of them was some users indicated that the dashed lines did not clearly indicate our service pattern. Some users indicated a preference for adding a large DCA badge on the Franconia Springfield platform, and some users indicated that having all stations aligned consistently horizontally would improve legibility. We can't change the dotted line at this time. I would agree with you that the dotted line might not be the best way to indicate service that is all day when it alternates between two different termini. It's a tricky situation, but right now our system-wide map uses a dotted line, and so for consistency's
Going
sake,
till I
we
don't know
need to
what
continue to
the agenda
use
is. I'll have
a dotted
probably
line.
around.
We also do not want to be directing customers. We hear you on the DCA badge. We don't want to direct customers to take the blue line to DCA because it is a less efficient route. If there were a situation in which service could not go to DCA from the line that we recommend people take, then our digital tools would be able to adjust to that service change to give people that information in those instances. But for our static signage in this location, it doesn't, it's a suboptimal trip essentially. And then the question of the horizontal alignment, that is a result of these being maps that depict the branching behavior of our system. And because of that, we need the flexibility as to sort of where those stations appear on the map. Okay. Next slide, please. That was the final. Was that the final slide? That was the final slide. So having said that, may we go? Yeah. Having said that, do people have questions and comments that they'd like to share?
Chair Calabria, we have Patrick Sheehan, we have Philippa, and we have Steve Caffin.
Can I go first?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Pat Sheen, senior white male with a polo shirt and jeans on today and very comfortable shoes. When are the recommendations going to that you're putting forward going to go before the board? My Sarah, are you still there?
I am here.
Okay.
That is a good question. I do not believe that we are scheduled for a wayfinding update soon, but I believe that the board reviewed these guidelines back in January or February.
January or February of 27.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So, okay. So,
26.
No, of 26 of this year.
Oh yeah, but that was long before we started with the specific recommendations going forward. So, would there be an up and down vote from the board of directors in the fall?
I do not believe that they have requested sort of that type of oversight of our wayfinding. But it is something that I can discuss with the board office.
Okay. Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, if there's going to be that would be good to know. We've got some folks that we are working with, and we'd like to know when recommendations can get in and how those recommendations would be processed.
Understood.
Great. Thank you.
I guess I'm next. This is Philippa, African American female, wearing a pink t-shirt with sorority faces all over it. Anyway, I was just going to say when the top to bottom to top first started, I was very confused, and I said I would wait to see it before I made made a decision or a judgment call on it. And I insulted Denmark because they did it. So first, I give my apologies to the Danish. Actually, when I saw it, it worked fine for me, and I took pictures of it and sent it to about 35 people, friends of mine that use Vetro with varying d levels of disability. And to a fault, everyone said they didn't see any difference, but everyone else liked it better from bottom to top. There were three suggestions that came out of it. One where the Silver Line bifurcates at Stadium Armory, and one goes, I guess, to Largo, and the other goes to New Carrollton, and they both have dashes. They were suggesting maybe use dashes on one side and squares or something different on the other side, just to distinguish that even though it's still silver, it's a different train. Another one suggested that where you have the B at the top, where you're indicating blue line or whatever, that you spell out blue for those who may be colorblind. And a third recommendation was that, and this was actually from one of the former WMATA employees who was in quality control, and she was a driver, but she had to go through the system to do whatever she had to do. And she said it was very confusing, and she's suggesting that you put these signs, for instance, when Metro Center at the top, L'Enfant Plaza at the top, where you have the train, both trains are in the middle and the platforms are on either side, that you put those signs on either side to indicate which way she should go to see what, the person would know which platform to go down to, because she said she often had to go all the way down on the platform into the middle of the platform to realize that she was on the wrong side. So those are about the only three things that, that people suggested. Most said it was very clear, very easy to follow. And like I said, I didn't hate it. I could live with it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Philippa, I will almost take that as a love note.
Actually, you can. I'm trying to be judicious because I don't want my scientist group committee to be mad at me, but I liked it, actually, so.
I understand. I appreciate that. To
Okay.
reassure, in the question that you had about the trains in the center, the side platforms, the intent is that at the top of the escalators, before anyone's made a choice to go down an escalator or an elevator, that these station ahead maps would be up there to help make that choice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It looks like Steve Kappen is next.
Okay, Steve. And I forgot to describe myself. Caucasian. I'm wearing a USA t-shirt, which was very expensive, but I'm proud to wear it. And black hair, kind of thinning. And there we are. Boy, I don't. I don't agree that we should leave out DCA and IAD because because they're stabilizers with respect to those lines. I would have called the Ashburn line Ashburn via IAD. That would have been my suggested approach. I think that's important. Especially IAD, because IAD is in kind of in the middle, and the name of the route is not IAD. Same with DCA. So look, I just beg to disagree on that, and leave it that way. And the other thing is the dotted lines. When I see a dotted line, when you see a dotted line on a map in a European train, such as in the London system, and you even see it in New York at the in the Dyer Avenue line up in the Bronx, which is an extension of I gee, I forget offhand. They use a dotted line because there's something unique about that line. Usually, it's not a full service line, or it doesn't have a it doesn't have regular service. But if you I really think you need to clarify that better. But if you have constraints, you're working with the constraints, and that's the way it is. Many of our visitors will see a dotted line and think there's something unusual. So you might have some kind of notation even at the bottom, so that if people want to know what that dotted line is, they'll have some clarification. But the key point I want to make is we're talking about wayfaring, and I think these are excellent. 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 But mo I think more people in using our system make connections. Certainly the visitors do. And most and I always do. It's rare that I take a single line. And I rely, even after 20 years of living in this city, on looking at a map to remind myself if I'm changing at Metro Center or Chinatown. And I see fewer and fewer maps. Let me, Sam, let me give you, I hate to take up too much time, but I want to give you a good example, because on that very day that we all gathered together, and I thoroughly seconded what you had done. I went back upstairs and I said to the group, "Look, I'm not going to go back with you. I want to go to Waterfront because there's a big Safeway. I want to do some shopping there." And so I went down to one of the stations, and I realized that I knew Waterfront was served by L'Enfant Plaza, but I had forgotten which line. And I found myself on the wrong station, at the wrong platform. I looked for a map. There was no map on that platform. So, no map, not one map. I went upstairs and I walked around looking for a map. The map I found was sitting in a big round space that looked like a looked like a design, some kind of design from a museum, and there was a map inside. The other map, there's only a, not one other map. And that is facing catty corner at the entrance to the station. May I suggest, Sam, that as part of this project, we recognize that maps are critical. And I'm an advocate for using of the five terminals maps on either side, as opposed to putting one in the middle. And, after this is over, you might want to take a look and recognize that most of our visitors need maps, and not just these stick figures. So sorry, but sorry for the long conversation, but thank you.
No apology needed, Steve. What you don't realize is you're actually singing my tune on all of these. And I want to clarify something in case the conversation muddied the waters a bit. We are still using the IAD and the DCA icons and assistance when you're on the line that goes to that location. The reality is that at L'Enfant Plaza, you have both the yellow line that you can pick up or the blue line. The yellow line takes you to DCA much more efficiently and quicker. And so, for those that need help, we want to be directing them to the most efficient way to get them to DCA, and that's the yellow line. For the silver line, the IAD helper will still be associated with the silver line. We're still using those elements They will still appear on the station head maps. They will also appear on signage larger and as you're approaching the platforms. So you'll have those assists, if you will. Those are not going away. I want to make sure that was super clear. You talked about did I miss the third?
The key point of all my chatter is the maps.
Yes. So the
The
system-wide maps.
the system-wide maps, because and the epitome of the station, a station would be L'Enfant Plaza, where I've lived in this city for 20 years and I'm running around the station like a zombie looking for a map to remind myself that it's the green line I want and not the station I'm sitting on. And that's when I realized I wanted to raise this with you today.
Yes. 100% agree on the need for the system-wide maps. We're not replacing the system-wide maps with the station ahead maps. The station ahead maps do a different job. In fact, what some of us want to do is much more consistently deliver where the system-wide maps appear and potentially use them as like a handshake moment as you enter the station in a more significant way than they presently are appearing. But your pain is mine. The moment I try to take a different route around the system, I find myself needing a system-wide map and finding that a very useful tool. Other times, the station ahead maps do the job perfectly well when they appear. Right now, they don't appear consistently in either form or location. And then, so that's a big challenge that we have. So I just wanted to make sure airport icons are still going to be associated with our station ahead maps and our signs. And system-wide maps are still a valued tool. They just do a different job.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks.
Chair Calabria, Sandy Newdale has a question.
Hi, Sam and Sarah. I want to say thank you. I mean, this has been long, hard work, you clearly have thought out a lot of things, and the location of the signs is very important. I really like that information is moving from the wall beyond the track that's really hard to see to the platform where I can get my nose right up and, as some people say, kiss the sign so I can read it. Sam, you mentioned on one sign, and I missed it on the tour at L'Enfant Plaza, and I just saw it tonight. At the top of one of the signs, you had a square symbol by Vienna, Vienna being a terminal station. Is that the new plan that terminal stations, is that the way to indicate that Vienna is the terminal station?
That was in response to feedback that we got from you all,
Yeah.
that helping to know that you were at a terminal, that you were looking at a terminal station rather than the beginning of the map, would be a help. And so the team quickly got together and made some refinements in response to the feedback that we got.
Okay.
So, yes.
Okay. So my comment, you know that I still prefer top to bottom, but regardless, I think highlighting the like the bottom of the sign where you have L'Enfant is, yeah, that's highlighted with a background. I wonder if Vienna could also be highlighted, or whether that makes creates more confusion than it solves. But the square, I don't see colors well. You've heard me say that before. And that shape, the contrast between that and the background doesn't jump out at me, so I don't really notice the square. But that aside, overall, we're making a lot of progress. Your suboptimal DCA along the blue line, yes, absolutely keep it on those way ahead signs. I wish it could also be at the top with equal emphasis. Many of us riders with various challenges really don't like changing. If I'm on the blue line coming in from Largo, I don't really want to change. I want to just go all the way on blue to get to DCA, even if I might save a few stops going upstairs to the yellow line. Another point, wait a minute, wait a minute. the dashed line that for the silver line. And I can't see colors, so you may already be doing this and I'm oblivious, but a dashed whatever color, white, I think is the way it shows up on the maps for the silver line. But could the in between, instead of being gray, is could it be in between blue where it's going to Largo, excuse me, yeah, Largo for silver, and blue going to Largo, and in between the white for silver have an orange color for going to New Carrollton. But again, it depends on what maps and what colors are available to you, but that's just a thought so that people get the message. These two lines are going together. Maybe that's a possibility. Maybe you ha already have the solid blue and the solid orange beside the dashed line, and so I'm not making sense here. But anyway, to follow up a little bit beyond Patrick's question about when will the board be approving this again or seeing it again? And I want to go a step farther, and this is like going into the future. What is the current plan once it gets approved by the board to go forward to deploy it in the whole system? Because I am really concerned that if signs are changing, and you've mentioned several times consistency is important, during the changing process, will riders be more confused because one station will look one way and another station will look another way, the new and the old versions? So I have heard 5-year rollout. Is that still the plan, or can you magically make all of the signs in your sign shop and then on March 31st some year you roll them all out and put them in the stations for April 1st or something like that? Could they all be rolled out simultaneously? What's the plan?
Okay, I'm going to try to start at the beginning, and then and since I've now heard the dotted silver a couple times, I will say that, and Sarah knows this, that I agree with you all that using a dotted line to suggest service that goes all day in an alternating fashion is not ideal. I don't think we're at the end of that question, as seeking a solution to that question. But it is what exists right now, so that is the standard or the way that we're going to be treating it going forward. In terms of how the SAMs are used, I want to sort of mention this. You talked about, like, if you get on the on a blue train, you don't want to have to switch to a different color train. The SAMs are for people who are about to make a choice to get onto a train, not for those that are already on a train. So if you're on a blue line train and you don't want to switch, you don't have to switch. And you wouldn't even see the station ahead map at L'Enfant Plaza because you've already entered the rail car and you're just continuing on it until you get to DCA. So that doesn't change the equation for you, I don't think.
Well, can I jump in and say if I arrive
Please.
from Largo on a silver line train, because I was so anxious I got on the first available train, but now I need to change. I know I need to change somewhere to get to the blue line. I appreciate that the DCA symbol should still be on that SAM on the lower platform so that I can be reminded, yes, it's the blue line I need to switch to.
Yes. So you will still see DCA, Ronald Reagan National Airport, will still appear on the station ahead map on at that station. That's not going anywhere. So if you got off and you took a look at a station ahead map, you will see that you could go that way. We're just not using the extra helper, if you will, the large element icon that says either DCA or IAD. That we're reserving for the optimal path. Does that help?
Yes.
I understand, Sandy and others, that we want to have everything everywhere, right? I get it. We all do. The challenge is the cognitive load and the number of unfamiliar tourists that are coming into L'Enfant. And if I put a giant plane with DCA on the blue, orange, silver, saying this is the pathway you should take, I'm doing those visitors a disservice. And the estimate they're getting from Google Maps was 5 minutes, and now they're on the train for 25 minutes, and God forbid they miss their flight because I gave them the wrong way finding. So 100% appreciate that there's people would prefer one seat rides, right? There are many people that would prefer one seat rides, but those people will know their one seat ride before they get to the platform. And they'll learn also, but I need to reach that, the 99% of the audience who usually is not familiar with us, and we don't want them getting on that ride.
Okay. And
Okay.
then my last point was the rollout plan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I was going to get to that. First, there are no magicians that work at WMATA. There are some really hardworking people, a lot of hardworking people that want to do the best they can. But there are no magic wands, and things aren't going to happen overnight. Presently, the system is really inconsistent. Like right now, that's why we're doing this, is because right now we have created over the course of decades a very challenging system with a lot of variety. There are all sorts of reasons for that. The system was constructed over 50 years, different architectural styles, and we have different hardware, we have different stations, the layouts are different, et cetera, et cetera. We are trying to bring consistency. It's not going to happen overnight, but it has to happen more quickly than 5 years for the station ahead maps if we are going to go to a destination first approach, because we're going to be then asking people, as you have said, Sandy, as we recognize that sometimes you're going to be working from the bottom up and sometimes you're going to be working from the top down, and that is definitely not ideal. We are going to work with our colleagues to come up with a plan that creates a strategy and a way of doing this as quickly as we can. We do not yet have that plan in place, but we do know that this needs to happen more quickly than the 5-year plan that will be in place for doing the entire system and all the signs throughout all the stations. So when we talk about a 5-year plan, we're really talking about all the signs in every station. We're not talking about a sort of a focused effort on a targeted element and tool that's really important. I expect that we will come back and report to you what the plan will be once we have that. And it will not be 5 years.
Okay, thank you.
Chair Calabria, there are no more questions for these presenters.
Okay. Well, we can move forward with the agenda.
All right, next we have Jill Cesari, Senior Vice President of Rail Modernization Programs.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Jill Cesari. I am a white female. I'm 52 years old. I have just come to WMATA for the last 6 weeks, so I'm a new employee. And I retired from the Navy a few months before that after serving for 30 years. So I have come to work on rail modernization and let's say description. So white female, I have an Italian background, so I have dark hair, and I've got a blue shirt on today. And very excited to speak to you for the first time. So
Yes.
thank you for having me.
All right. Well, tell us what you have to say.
All right, so I am going to, I hope I can share that this works well. Sorry, I'm going to start sharing. Move. Oh, yes. I just need to do, sorry. I tried from the beginning. Okay. Are we getting? Yes. Okay. So here are my slides.
Well,
Yeah.
Jill, we are not able to see your slides just yet.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, that's interesting because I can see them. Shoot. Yep. I'm sorry. This cancel my sharing. change my screen over. I succeed at this. Are you able to see them now?
No.
Not at this time. Mm.
All right.
Jill, do you want to send the link over to Maggie?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, I was about to ask, has she been made a co-host so she can share her slides?
Copy link. I apologize. All right, so Maggie, you should have it.
Okay, just waiting for them to populate. One moment. Okay. Right. And just one second, I'm going to share my screen. And let me know if my screen is visible.
There.
Yes, we see it.
Okay, so before we advance, I want to share with the group that there are some slides in this presentation, and the word embargo is across the top of two of them. And that term means that they are sensitive, that you are the very first people in the public to see these. And they will be shared publicly at next Thursday's board of directors meeting. And we're actually going to have a media day a couple days in advance of that. And the media will also be in what they call embargoed and not authorized to share the slides until we have the public hearing on July 23rd. So I ask for your help in keeping this information close hold and not going public with it, because we know that there's a lot of sensitivity and a lot of interest. So when you get to those slides, you'll see it says embargo, and it means please do not share this until they go public on July 23rd. Okay, with that, so what we are talking about today is specifically about the platform doors that are being planned for rail modernization. And if we can go to the next slide, please, Maggie. Okay, so I'm going to walk through this first slide, and it's some basic terminology about the functions of platform doors. So the platform doors will go from end to end of the platform, and our platforms are, can accommodate either 8 or 6 train lengths. So these will be planned for 8, which is the longest length, and they will go from end to end. And the doors will be glass or a material very similar to glass, like a, transparent plexiglass, but most likely glass. And then they will be supported from the bottom with a sitting on the edge of the platform. And then every so many feet, there will be doors that open and they align to the train car doors. And so when the train car doors open, the platform doors will open simultaneously. And then in between the doors, where the rest of the train is, are just clear glass. Support it with, material to keep the material, to keep the screening function safe in place, et cetera. So the vast majority of the look, though, will be glass with some metal framing. And the color will be the same bronze color, dark brown that's used throughout the system. Okay, so the terminology is towers that hold the motors, inside the, alongside the doors. And that's the mechanism that opens and closes the doors. And then there's an emergency egress door adjacent, in a panel adjacent to the doors. And that really is for like emergency access for like firefighters, policemen, et cetera. That would be very rarely used. And then there's the motorized sliding doors. They'll be very similar feeling to an elevator door. And then there's space on the floor where the truncated tiles, we call them the bumpy tiles, will there be some sort of tactile warning surface to indicate where the doors are? And so the plan right now is that the rest of the tactile tiles along the edge will be removed because there's no opening there anymore. There's no ability to get to the track or to be warned of the track. So this is just some of the terminology of the doors and their basic function. And these are used in probably more than 30 agencies around the world right now. So these are relatively new to North America, but they are not new to Asia, South America, and Europe. Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide, please. So on this slide, more about terminology, and I'm showing three different pictures of three different agencies around the world that have different types of platform doors. And so there's different names for the doors used around the world depending on their functions. So platform screen doors is generally used for stations that enclose from the platform all the way to their ceilings. And so the train tracks and the train themselves are completely shut off from the platform. That changes the ventilation system. It changes the look and feel of the entire station. And this is an option for stations that are brand new rail lines being built. Some are choosing to do that because that's when they're picking their ventilation system, how they're going to design their platforms, et cetera. This is not an option for the DC Metro because we are not a new line. Then I'm showing a picture, and so that's the photo I'm showing is from the Elizabeth line in London, which is brand new. Okay, then the middle photo is the Paris Metro, and they have what they call platform edge doors. They are full height, meaning they're more than 2 meters tall or over 8 feet tall, so taller than the average human. But the rail line itself is still open, and there's open ventilation between the rail line and the platform. Those two are generally used for new lines because they're very heavy, and new lines are built with the platform doors in mind. And then the third photo shows the Sydney Metro in Australia, and they are partial height doors. And they are intended for retrofitting existing stations, which is what the DC Metro is doing. We're retrofitting the Red Line existing stations with platform doors. And so in this case, they're partial height doors, which on average are 1.2 meters or about 5.5 feet tall. So they are commercially available, which is really important because it helps keep the cost down. Because we're going to be able to buy them from commercial vendors and then have some design look that matches what the DC Metro looks like. And also important about partial height doors, they're lighter because of their size. And so they fit better on platforms that were not originally designed to have them. Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide. So, on this slide, we talk about the types of platform doors, which I briefly discussed already. And So we expect the doors to be above or at about people's shoulder heights, depending on how tall you are, how you sit. Obviously, people in wheelchairs or children in strollers, they will, they'll feel like the doors are very tall. But if you're 6 feet tall, your head will be above the doors. And again, these are designed to be on the edges of platforms that already exist. And so here at Metro, we're calling these platform doors versus platform screen doors, because we are not screening off the tracks. And that's important too, because we do not intend to redesign the ventilation system in our enclosed stations. Okay. Next, please. All right, so this is a photo of our existing platform. It's an indoor station. There's a train at the station. It is showing the granite edge as it exists today with the circular platform lights in the granite. Then there's several inches or a few inches of the truncated or the bumpy tiles that give a warning that the edge is coming up. And then the station is showing hexagon tiles that are throughout the majority of the station. So the key functions are showing the truncated tiles, the tactile warning that says the platform edge is coming up. There's a visual contrast that the granite provides so people can see that the track is coming up, that there's something ahead to be aware of. There's circular lights that blink when the train is arriving, while the train is sitting at the platform, and when the train is departing, so people know that there's something in motion. And okay, so then the next slide will show. This is an embargoed slide. It's embargoed because this is a realistic rendering of what we expect a future Red Line modernized station to look like. So it shows the platform doors as they're imagined today in this early design phase called concept design, what it looks like. You will see that there is the regular Adobe colored hexagon tile. There is the truncated tactile tiles directly in front of the doors, almost like a placemat. And then you can see from the top height of the door to the floor, there's a long, thin light embedded in the side of the doors. There'll be a light on either side of the doors. And when the train is arriving, those lights will blink. And just like the circular lights on the existing platform edge do now, because where the doors are going is going to be where the granite edge and the lighting, the circular lights are today. So what's not shown is any of the wayfinding options that will be designed into the upcoming design at a later phase of development. So we're in a concept design today, and in the next couple of years, we'll get to the engineering phase. And when we arrive at the engineering phase, we will work through all of the different options for wayfinding. Okay, next, please. So this is a diagram showing, a man standing on the platform. The way our current platform is designed, the edge is not supported. And so we have to be very careful as we engineer the design not to overweight the edge of the platform. And so what we will be doing is removing the granite edge, removing the circular lights. That frees up weight. It also allows us to add cement, like it. So we will be removing the granite, adding cement, And we'll also be putting rebar in order to support the height of the doors. There will also be a cavity under that cement edge where we can install a cabling system that will open and close the doors. So I just wanted to show everybody that the platform doors are located as far on the edge of the platform that we can structurally allow them to be. There's a couple of reasons for that. One, it minimizes, eliminates the ability for a person or anything to get stuck between the train and the platform doors. Because when these doors open, it will just be a couple of inches, a few inches to walk through the platform doors to get onto the train. We also can't allow them to be any closer than they are because when trains come into the station, they do rock and roll a little bit on the track. There's some vibration movement, and we never want the train to touch the platform doors because if the train did that, they would crack and destroy the doors. So there has to be enough space for the train to have that movement as it comes in, but as close as possible, so there's minimal to 0% chance that a human will ever be caught between the train and the doors. All right, next slide, please. So this is an example of what some of our peers around the world have done for wayfinding. And like I said, we are thinking about it, researching, but we have not made any decisions, nor do we need to at this stage of design. But we will actively work with others on wayfinding. So the first example is from Copenhagen, and they have what is described as wings coming out from the doors in a almost like a U shape to show where people should kind of stay outside if they're waiting to get on the train. But they have the tactile warning strip in front of the doors. And then the middle photo is from Hong Kong Metro. They also have a tactile warning strip, and they have green arrows pointing out from the doors to show, to indicate that people are going to flow out of these doors in the middle. And then they have white arrows on either corner to show where inbound passengers should embark the train and get through the doors. And then the last photo is of the Seoul Metro in Korea. And they have embedded their arrows into the tactile strip. And they're just triangles. So inbound and outbound looking triangles in the floor. And I see that there's a raised hand. I'll go ahead and take a question from Sarah.
I'm perfectly willing to wait till the end of your presentation
Okay.
if you want. I've got a bunch of questions for you, and thank you so much for coming and giving this.
Okay. Next, please. All right, so this is another embargoed slide because again, it's a realistic rendering of what a future station on the Red Line will look like with the platform doors installed. And part of what the team is working through and is required to do is to maintain the architectural design and heritage of the metro system. That is one of the reasons we're trying to minimize the look and feel of the doors so you can still see and feel the architectural features like the domed ceilings, the lighting from below on the walls and the ceilings. That you can still see the floor tiles well, the dark brown coloring, et cetera. And it's another reason that we're moving the function and the feel of the flashing edge lights, the circular lights onto the doors. So we're moving the function onto the doors, but we will be covering up the granite edge because we're going to replace it with cement in order to support the weight of the doors. Okay, next photo, please, or next slide. Okay, so as I briefly mentioned, we are in the concept design phase. We're in the very early concept design. We have to look at architectural, structural concerns, station lighting, the noise of the station. We expect actually it will get quieter, but we are doing a noise study. We're also doing a study on ventilation and airflow to ensure that we're not negatively affecting or changing the airflow in the stations. And then after we get through these design considerations, while we're doing this, we're also working through various surveys, structural assessments, and ensuring we understand all of our historical considerations, because we do have to engage the state historic preservation offices, both in the District of Columbia and Maryland, since the red line stations are in those two jurisdictions. And then lastly, stakeholder engagement, which you are among the very first that we are engaging with these photos and this discussion. And like I mentioned, the State Historic Preservation Offices, as well as the Commission of Fine Arts that oversees the architectural design of the station, because it is in the monumental core of Washington, D.C. Next slide, please. All right, that is the end of my presentation. I understand there are questions, and Sarah's patiently been waiting.
Again, this is Sarah, and I am a middle-aged white female wearing a black shirt and sitting in my kitchen today. Thank you again for coming. Welcome. Glad to have you here, and I am super excited about having these platform doors. I think it gives us several opportunities, and I had mentioned this to your colleagues, to do some things for safety and accessibility in the process of doing this. And some of these sort of fall into the, we need to engineer this in the first place. And then some of it is more in the, it can wait till the wayfinding stage. But in terms of the upfront things, one thing that we have asked for again and again recently is some sort of a mechanism, a button, something to pull, some way of making known that you've got somebody with mobility issues that needs a little more time to board the train, or somebody has had a problem with a mobility device trying to board the train. One of the big security or safety issues that we have seen repeatedly with wheelchair users is wheels getting stuck in the platform gap, the gap between the platform and the train, and people get stuck there, and having some kind of a way of signaling to the operators that somebody's having a problem or likely to have a problem would be wonderful. And now that you've got, if you're having platform doors and you've always got the doors opening in the same places, and we know exactly where the accessible doors are going to be, that makes our lives a lot easier in terms of wayfinding, navigating, that kind of thing. But the other really exciting thing I had never heard until your presentation was talking about working on that edge. I know we have wheelchair users probably in the audience today, but certainly people that follow this that have been asking for years to see if there's a way we can reduce the gap. And I know there's all kinds of different ways of engineering gap reduction. Some of it's from the train part, some of it's from the platform side, some of it's some other thing. But we would really, really love to work with you and your team on trying to address some of these longstanding issues in the process of bringing these doors on board. And then again, also with the wayfinding, I think there's some markings that would help people leave more space for wheelchair users to board, or for the blind and low vision folks to be able to find their way to some of the better doors. Certainly the truncated domes are good, but there are also some other options out there. So anyway, thank you. We look forward to working with you hoping we can make some improvements that help accessibility as well as everything else. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments. And I've taken notes. All right. I have not been tracking whose hand went up next. So
all
I'll
right.
just.
We have Tino Calabia.
Hi, Jill. This is a capital expense. Do we have the capital budget to do this? And what does it cost?
So yes, it's a capital expense. On April 23rd, the board of directors voted on the Red Line Modernization Project, which is the official name of this effort. And they voted in a $913 million budget. And then there's also a federal grant process that is in effort right now that I'm leading with the team here at WMATA to engage the Federal Transit Agency for matching or exceeding funds, upwards of 60% of what the local jurisdictions are putting in. And so right now the budget is estimated to be $1.6 million. The platform doors is just one part of the modernization. The reason I'm bringing it to you is because it changes the look and the feel of the stations. It's part of the historic preservation aspect of getting federal funds that we have to work through. And so we have to engage the historic preservation offices early because it's part of the environmental reviews that are required. The other aspects of modernization is changing the signaling system. If people don't know, the signaling system currently in use has been part of the DC Metro for 50 years. It's as old as the stations themselves. It's extremely outdated. While it's safe and is being maintained, moving to modern signaling equipment is really important for reliability. I'm sure everybody's been on the train when they've seen, there's an outage because there's a signaling issue. And so with new equipment, new signaling equipment, we will receive higher reliability. And so the signaling system is actually the really expensive part of all this. Also, the rail cars, the 7,000s and the 8,000 rail cars will be updated. They will be what we call retrofitted with new signaling equipment to talk to the signaling equipment. And so the majority of the signaling equipment will actually be moved onto the rail cars. And so less equipment will be along the tracks themselves. And so the platform doors is one aspect of modernization, but it is not the only part. And so that's what the budget is going towards.
You mentioned the red line. Will the red line be the first one to adopt?
It is the first line, and it is the only one approved for modernization at this time. The plan is that the red line, because of it's the oldest line, and because it is isolated from the other lines where there's not split, while you can transfer to other lines, there's not sections of the track that merge into other colors like there are in silver and orange and blue, et cetera. So this is the easiest as far as complexity to work on, but the main reason is because it's the oldest and it needs the most modernization in order to stay, to get up, to get back up to date and to support the ridership that's on the red line.
Do you have a cost estimate for the red line adaption of this?
Yes, it's the $1.6 billion
1.6 billion from the capital budget.
from the capital budget. And again, approximately half is coming from the local jurisdictions, and the other half, if not more, will come from the federal government.
But the other jurisdictions, for example, are not yet touched by the red line.
That is correct. And they all agreed to it.
Already?
Yes, it was voted on April 23rd, 2026.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Philippa Mazzell.
Okay, hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, okay, great. Wow, I'm flabbergasted. My jaw dropped. I had a lot of questions. Let me see what I wrote. Okay, first of all, the door openings. Where the structure doors would open. I remember at the time that we had to engage some of the older cars to fill in for some of our newer cars, and those car doors wouldn't line up with this. So might that be a problem if that had to happen again?
The only cars that will be modernized will that will be retrofitted with the equipment to support the new signaling system are the 7,000s and the 8,000s. The
Okay.
first set of 8,000s are being delivered at the end of 2027. So
Okay, and
we're about a year and a half away from the first deliveries of the 8,000s. When those are delivered, they will not have the new signaling equipment on them. They've been in design for over 4 or 5 years now. And so we have not selected the company that will be providing the signaling equipment. So after we start getting deliveries of the 8,000, then we'll start retrofitting them with the new signaling equipment.
Okay, and I just wanted to say, and I'm sure we'll come to this again later, the light poles that will signal that the train is coming, I just want to ask that you do not put bright lights on them. I'm still suffering from some of these escalator lights that are so bright, they blind me and I have to turn away from them. A soft orange, a pale green, I don't know, but something that doesn't produce glare for a lot of people and kind of blind them in the process of trying to get on the train. And that's just an opinion there. But I don't, forgive my ignorance, why do they do this? Why, I see a lot of places have done these doors, these structures. Why do they do it? Is it to keep people from jumping off into the tracks? Or, I mean, what is
so
the point?
There's a handful of reasons. So one, so to date in 2026, we've had 10 train deaths so far because people have either intentionally jumped in front of the train. So we've had several suicides. It's really unfortunate. I hate even talking about it. Obviously, it's extremely traumatic for the train operators and for the people on the train that experienced this. But we've already had 10 this year. In past years, we've had, double that number. We also have over 100 people that trespass on the tracks, which then requires the train line to close until the police or the fire departments get them off the tracks. And so platform doors will significantly increase the safety of the rail line, which will also increase the efficiency and effectiveness of the rail, the trains, because they'll be able to operate without waiting for 2 or 3 hours in some cases to investigate, remove bodies and people from the tracks. And then also, I'm sure all of you have seen or are aware of, people throw trash in the stations onto the tracks. Everything from soda cans to book bags to, I watched somebody do it the other day, a basketball got thrown on the track.
Oh.
So all of those things get caught in the trains. They cause track fires. They also cause excessive amount of maintenance to the trains themselves at the end of the day, because there's material stuck underneath the trains, mm-hmm. right? So all of the above. So it reduces maintenance on the trains. It significantly increases the safety, and the trains are able to move faster and more efficiently because there's not this tremendous fear that there's somebody about to jump in front of the train as it enters a station.
Okay.
And so as we go to a more automated modern system, the trains will be able to move faster. So it will reduce trip time. They're able to come into the stations faster because there's not a train operator, trying to see if somebody's about to jump in front of the track. And then there's a lot less trespass. There's significantly fewer trespassing incidences, and there's significantly less debris on the tracks. That
okay.
is the main reason.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it might be the jumpers or something. And my last question, I remember a train getting stuck at on its way to in the tunnel at L'Enfant Plaza or something. And I'm wondering if a train got stuck somewhere and, because there was a fire, I think, on the train, how would the rescue people, the first responders, get to them with these doors? Is there another way to open them so they can get onto the track or however they need to get in to help people?
Yeah, so there, as I briefly described on the first slide, there's emergency entry doors. They look like panels, right? And the emergency personnel will be trained on how to access those panels to get the doors to open. So emergency personnel can gain access to the track if they need it.
And last question, was it the same reason a lot of these other countries have put these structures in place?
Absolutely.
Because of jumpers and debris and vandalism, et cetera.
Absolutely. Okay. And again, like we're trying, the overall goal of, rail operations is to move people efficiently, effectively, safely. And so the platform doors really add to safety and efficiency because the trains can move faster without looking for trash and looking, and then, like I said, when there is a jumper, on average, it takes 2 to 3 hours of that segment of the rail being
Yes,
secured.
I got caught behind one time, so I do know. Will these structures be very, really stable? Because you're going to have people just trying to push them over or do something stupid because we have stupid people.
Yes, they are very stable, and that's the reason we need to remove the granite and then install cement, which will have reinforcing materials in it to
Okay.
support the weight of the doors.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Right, next we have Patrick Sheehan.
Thanks. There's a lot here, so I appreciate all the questions. I won't have as many, maybe two. The granite edge, which has the flashing lights, at least as I remember, that were put in so those flashing light would indicate to deaf folks who could not hear the train coming that a train was approaching. I don't know if we lose that capability with that granite edge removed. Something to think about. You may get that question.
So
And
the lights that are going to be on
flashing
either
lights, right?
the flashing light functionality is going to be moved to the side of the
Right, of the
doors.
car. But these lights on the granite edge would start flashing probably maybe 20 or 30 seconds before the train came in.
That is
So
correct. It's going to
you
it's the
have,
same functionality will be moved to the
right.
lighting system on the
But
doors.
they may you may lose that 20 or 30 sec. You may lose that additional time. And
We'll
I don't know.
set it.
Yeah.
We can set it so
Okay.
it will go off 20, whatever the timing is now,
Okay.
will provide
Right.
the same thing. And also later in the design, where we're not there yet, there's
Right.
also going to be an auditory warning, and it will sound something like train coming, train coming, train arriving. Train at this,
Oh, okay.
train aligned with the
Good.
doors. Like, so there's going to
Oh,
be a
good. Okay.
verbal communication that is also part of the door structure. And again, that's going to be part of wayfinding at a
Oh,
later
then, okay,
stage.
good. Then let's see. So granite edge is removed, and the truncated domes after that, which I believe are 18 inches out from that, you say that's going to be removed also, or no, before you
So
get to the platform doors.
the truncated tiling that is all along the entire edge
Right.
today is going to be removed. And then our current design, and again, this is very early on, is to have the truncated tiling directly in front of the door openings only.
Out 18 inches, or how far
We
out?
are working through what the dimensions will be. But
Right.
we are estimating it will be the same width as the doors.
And how
And
far out, though?
it'll
No.
be
Okay.
close to the doors.
So I remember there was a requirement way back in, what was it, early 80s or something that talked about the amount of truncated domes you had to have accessible from the edge. And
But
I
so the current American Disabilities Act says
ADA, right.
if you have platform doors, you do not need any truncated
Okay.
tiling.
Oh, so
Okay,
that
so
was
because
where, yeah.
platform doors
Okay.
prevents people from
Okay.
potentially falling into the track.
That was
And
my
so the
overall question. Yeah.
correct.
Okay,
And
good.
so but we believe it's a best practice to still have some tiling so people can find their way
Right.
Relatively easily, to the entrance of the door.
Last question, well, maybe second to last question. So the door, as the doors open and I'm walking through, are they like elevator doors so that they, if they are closing and they hit me, that open again? Or are they more like the metro doors that are a little more aggressive, shall we say?
I
The
don't know
platform doors?
specifically. Yeah, I don't know
Yeah.
specifically yet because we have
Okay.
not even begun the process of procuring and finding the
Right. Okay.
vendor. We just know
Right.
what's available out there, and we're gonna
That would
obviously
be
take all safety precautions as
good.
we work our way through this procurement.
Okay. I think that's my main questions. It's pretty exciting. It's a little scary. Oh, last thing I'll just say is as this gets moved through the red line, I would imagine would be constructed across the entire red line so that someone who's visually impaired like myself, a blind, would not be, you wouldn't have truncated domes taken out or whatever when I, you know, if the platform doors weren't there.
That's correct.
Right,
So
okay.
we would not remove the truncated domes if there were no platform doors there.
Oh, good. Okay,
When the
great.
platform doors go in is when the designs that I walked through, I talked through earlier would be in place.
I ex that's what I expected. Great. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
And I didn't say it earlier, but the goal is to make the red line modernization something that we can then transfer to future lines,
Right. Beautiful.
right?
Well,
So that
thanks.
is not funded. That's not the current scope, but the goal is to modernize the entire, DC Metro is the goal.
Welcome to
But we
Metro.
only have funding, and the project is only for the red line at this time.
Wow. You jumped into a small project at Metro, didn't you? Welcome aboard.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, I don't see any other hands, so I believe I am complete. And I really appreciate your time and thoughts and feedback. And I look forward to continuing to work with you.
And Tino hasn't spoken up. I'm not sure if he's still there. This is Sandy Neuzel. I just want to say thank you for coming. I'm filling in for Tino as bus rail subcommittee vice person, whatever. But very good. We look forward to more presentations as this project evolves. And I hope we have opportunities to weigh in on wayfinding aspects early on. Thank you.
And Jill, just one second. Tino, your hand is still up. Did you have a second question?
Yes, just
Okay.
a comment. You're the first person who's told us about the suicides. We asked the police twice. They've got back to us on the suicides. So here we are, it's only July, and there are 10 suicides already.
That is correct.
Yeah. Well, if you.
Well, and so I would say I think they know definitively eight are, and then a couple, were people pushed, or did they make it look like they were pushed? So it's, but I know of seven or eight that are definitively suicides.
The New York Times, some months back, published a long article on the devastation that occurs for the drivers of these metros. Some have had to quit; they couldn't take it anymore. So I'm glad that we're finally doing something about it. It's 1.8 million for the Red Line. And what will it be, do you think? Do you have any figures on the other lines yet?
I
Billion.
haven't. The other lines are longer. They're more complex because of the interchange between lines. And so we have not even begun to cost estimate, and then obviously inflation and all those other factors go in, whenever we would start that. But the good news is, like, we are trying to build this program so we don't have to relearn anything. We can leverage everything that we do for this going forward, so we're not starting at zero. We're starting, a third or 40% of our way in, so we can go faster as we get to the future lines.
When does it begin on the red line? The
So
work.
it well, I'm here because we have started on the red line, but as far as delivering materials, it will be probably late 2030.
20.
In 2029, we'll be doing testing on a test track that the public doesn't see. It's right off of the Green Line. So there's a 2-mile track there that we'll start doing some testing there, right? And that will prepare us to bring materials and a train car set and signaling equipment to the Red Line, where we'll start testing at some level in 2030. We don't expect to be done until 2032, 2033. So, but it just takes a tremendous amount of planning to get there.
It starts with the red line, and when you talk about it being completed, it's the red line that's completed, not the other line.
Correct. Correct. This is just for the red line. It takes this long to work through all the steps, receive federal funding, work through all the phases of engineering, and then testing, and then we have a lot of infrastructure work. We have to go change all the equipment in the equipment rooms that have signaling equipment, et cetera. So there's a tremendous amount of work ahead.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jill. Chair Calabria, we do have one comment from the public, but it's on a separate topic.
Okay. What time do we have public comments?
So public comment started at 5:30. I mean, sorry, 5:45.
And we are now at what time?
5:56 p.m.
5:56.
Yes,
Well,
sir.
I guess we ought to entertain the comment right away.
All right. So, members of the public, now this is time for you to comment. You'll have 2 minutes to comment, and we can start with Monica ML.
Thank you so much, Dr. Butler. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you. And thank you for all the presentations. Were very, very interesting. I am actually attending tonight's or today's meeting as an ANC Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner in Ward 5, just north of the Brooklyn Metro Station. And this is basically with a plea to, I saw the word bus and rail in this meeting. And my constituents and I, we have been trying to get in touch with WMATA, specifically people who deal with bus and the Better Bus Network redesign. We've gotten help from our council member, Zachary Parker. He tried to put us in touch with Anne, I believe her last name is Chisholm. And we've also tried to reach out to Charlie Dingboom, I believe is his last name. Sorry if I'm not getting it right. And I was just basically here to in hopes of getting a good point of contact to follow up on issues that pertain to bus route C63, formerly H6, and some ongoing issues that are actually about accessibility, given that some of the stops were removed in the new in with the redesigned. And as we probably you know better than I do, although I am a user of this route, bus shelters are very hard to come by. This redesigned removed stops in where there are actually three bus shelters in an uphill that is going up from the Brooklyn Metro Station towards several destinations in the rest of our neighborhood. So we're very interested in just, expressing our concerns, giving our feedback, and understanding how these decisions were made and what can be done to alleviate some of the ongoing concerns and ongoing burdens on people with very reduced mobility, specifically seniors who live in that part of my neighborhood. Thank you so much.
Next.
We have Steve Caffin.
Thank you. We don't have enough time, so if it's all right, Maggie, I'll send you a list so we can incorporate that formally in the customer comments. Would that be all right?
Yes, that's perfect.
Okay. However, I want to raise one. I want to actually two. And that's I would very much appreciate senior management looking into the responsiveness to customers of their comments when they contact customer service. I've talked with the great I do a lot of writing on buses and metros, and I talk to a lot of people just because I want to find out. And it's a common understanding they don't get the responses to questions and concerns that they either send in with the form or they call about. Immediately, within 3 seconds, they get an email thanking them. They can ask for an additional response, but it never follows through with the initial concern. And I think what's needed, and this has been my field for a long number of years, so I think this is what is needed, is a procedure coming from the senior most management dealing with the metrics for this. Let's say within 3 days of a 3 days, something has to happen. Within 5 days, the customer should be noted, should be contacted. But it's not the customer service people, who are wonderful people, and it's not the system. But it's a great system, but we have an issue with that. The other thing I'm going to raise in one sentence, because we're over, unfortunately. In late May and early June, Metro Transit Police made 51 arrests for fare evasion. We all care about fare evasion, but for $2.25, it seems to me that unless these are expunged, people for all their lives are going to have to check a box whether they want a job or whether they want an apartment or whether they want whatever, a bank account that says, have you ever been arrested? And I think somebody senior in the senior management should look at this, and in my opinion, these should be expunged. $2.25 should not be the focus of an arrest. It almost sounds like Jean Valjean in Les Misérables, who stole a loaf of bread and for the rest of his life was considered a criminal. And I'm sorry to be dramatic, but it bothers me tremendously. Fare evasion is horrific, but not to the point of possibly ruining people's lives over $2.25. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Cabin. We will take those remarks back to our leadership.
Yes, please do.
Yes, I agree.
Chair Calabria, the interpreters have indicated that they are scheduled to stop at 6.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
May I provide the closing remarks?
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you all, committee members, Metro staff, guests, interpreters, and members of the public for your participation this evening. If you have questions, comments, and concerns, please send those to metroaacchair@wmata.com or by phone at 202-962-1100. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please just also have it noted that this did go over tonight, because we'll have to send in paperwork saying
yes,
that it
ma'am.
Did. Okay,
we
thank you so much.
We'll take care of that. Thank you
please,
so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so the meeting is officially adjourned because we're over 6 o'clock. So thank you all for attending. It was a very good discussion about these new features that are going to come about. That's tremendous. Anyway, thank you again, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Tino, it's the end of our year at the end of July, and so I think we should thank you for your tremendous chairmanship yet once again.
Well, thank you, Steve.
And of course Sandy for bringing up so many important issues that we've dealt with. We try again in September.
Yeah. One thing we didn't deal with was reactions to the inspection of the MUC open gangways trains. And